Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast 198. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
What's going on, Ant? How are you?
Doing okay. Tired.
How's the home?
The home's okay. My cat seems to agree.
Okay.
So he's been very vocal lately.
Which one?
Link, right? Are we all talky? We're all talky. But yeah, everything's going really well here. I'm pretty much all unpacked.
Okay.
Just waiting for a few pieces of furniture so I can open up the rest of the boxes I have left and unpack. Mm-hmm. The office, as you can see, I showed it last week. It's coming along, but
it is, yeah.
You know,
getting there.
Piece by piece, there. You know, you'll see things change over time here, mm-hmm. Which is cool. But more importantly, like, I'm really excited to have not only have everything set up, but to have access to all of my systems again.
That's so good. That's good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. All my consoles are within arm's reach, mm-hmm. Which is great. I've been looking forward to getting back to some of the games that I started playing and, you know, obviously put on hold for the move. Mm-hmm. Some live streaming, like Oracle of Ages I need to get back to.
Yes.
Also, Larry, you know, one of the things that I was thinking of the other day, we kind of put our competition on hold over the summer because
we
did. Going on. So I'd like to get back to that because if I remember correctly, you were up 6-5.
So. I think so. I still think we're tied, but you're the one who's keeping score. So
no, you had beaten a game you weren't expecting to, and I didn't put it on the list.
Oh, okay. That's why I keep forgetting.
I can't remember the name of the game. So, and then for those of you who don't remember, because we haven't mm-hmm. talked about it in a while, Larry and I do some type of wager every year. And this year's wager is, who can complete the most retro games this year that they haven't beaten before?
Yeah.
So we're obviously doing it on the honor system and trusting that the games we beat, we haven't beaten. I don't think
absolutely.
Either of us would lie about that.
Yeah.
Although I don't know about you. You're a little shady.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I do believe you because I do remember growing up how you never beat anything.
So, no, I didn't. I sucked.
Yeah. So almost every game you beat now, I would believe.
Yep. So, very much so.
Yeah, so when we basically put the competition on hold. Larry had completed 6 games. I had completed 5. And I do want to get back to Oracle of Ages, which I started. I know my Final Fantasy VII, I know, doesn't count because it's a remake, but I really want to get back to finishing that because there are so many other games that are coming out right now that
I it's ridiculous.
And so many other retro games that I haven't touched yet that I'm dying to play. So Avengers came out this week.
Yes, Avengers. I mean, you're right. This week has been nuts, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, one part. But with the contest, you know, this is our third year doing it, yep. And I'm already 0-2. Yep. So, you know, I need this one. Yep. For as garbage as this year has been, it would really be cool to get the win this year. So we'll see what happens.
All right. And that just, and look, Larry, as much as I would like to see you win a year.
I just motivated you.
No. You know how competitive I am.
Right? And vindictive.
Yeah, I was just going to say, vindictive? Okay, fine. I'm a little vindictive. All right. But, you know, I'm just saying, I'm like, you know how competitive I am. I mean,
yes.
You can go back into our history to all the controller throwing
situations. Epic. Epic.
Which I don't do anymore. Thank you, therapy. No.
Plus, everything's wireless. It'd go further. At least back then, everything's wired. That's only went a certain distance.
Yeah, see, and that's the problem now. If I throw a wireless controller, there's actually a chance I can break my television.
Just like the Wii. We have a problem, Doc. I wonder if that site's still up. We have a problem.
I don't know.
I'm going to check it right now.
And, you know, one other thing that I did, I powered up my PSVR.
Oh, okay.
The other day for the first time in, you know, a couple of months, two or three months. And I was like, it felt really good to be back in there.
Good. I still haven't. I got
it. It's really good. So, yeah, I put Beat Saber on and played for a little bit. There's a new Linkin Park pack in there.
Oh.
That's insanely challenging.
Okay.
And I played it for about 15 minutes. And thanks to the humidity here in Florida and everything like that, I was already so sweaty that I shut it off.
It just sucked right off your head.
It's like I started one song and I was like,
good for you.
But anyway, so yeah, it was nice to get back into VR stuff. And again, I've got my desk set up here in the office. So I'm going to start doing what I had initially in LA. What I'm going to do here is like, I have a flat screen TV here, LCD. And I had all my minis
hooked up
so that I can just play all my minis on this TV and stream them. So I'm going to set that up again.
That makes that easy. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely looking forward to doing all that again.
All right, cool. Sounds, yeah, you know, obviously a lot has been happening in 2020. So sometimes things kind of go to the wayside a little bit.
Dude, I moved cross country.
This is true.
Yes.
And I have not moved from, and I have not moved from my couch.
That's commendable.
And in fact, that's where I am right now. Again, the house, my apartment, the tables keep getting filled up with stuff. Mm-hmm. So now I'm regulated back to my couch.
I would like to say one thing before I forget. I want to give a special shout out to my friend Alex.
Okay.
She's the person who helped me in terms of moving because she lives here.
Okay.
And I met her working when I was working at Illumination because she was basically my counterpart at Universal.
Okay.
So she was working on the same project that I was working on. So, but when I was moving to Orlando, I had told her, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm moving. And she's like, oh, you know, whatever you need, I can help you out, this, that, and the other. And when I had decided to go house hunting, her and her husband went to the homes I was interested in live and did video chat.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. Yeah.
Really cool. So, you know, and I'm incredibly grateful to her husband, Chris. But she also gave me a really lovely housewarming gift.
Oh.
And I just wanted to share this as a thank you. And it is video game related because she's a huge, huge Legend of Zelda fan.
Ooh.
So much so that her bathroom mirrors are shaped like rupees.
Really? That's pretty really cool. Interesting.
She bought them specifically because she looked at them and she's like, oh my God, they look like rupees.
I smell special co-host just in case.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try and. But she gave me this as a housewarming gift. And apparently there's this artist that she really likes that does video game art. And ooh. she gave me the person's name. I have to look it up and see what else he has. But she gave me this really awesome Twilight Princess.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, watercolor, I want to say. So it's
just it looks really like cool. It. Yeah, that's Link in wolf form.
Link in wolf form.
Listening.
Twilight Princess.
That is
and then
gorgeous.
I told her, I said, thank you for this. Maybe this will motivate me to actually play Twilight Princess because I haven't yet. also on my list to play. But thank you very much, Alex. She has been nothing short of incredible.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Well, you're getting a lot of good gifts. Did you play the Pac-Man?
I did play the Pac-Man. It's sitting on my counter. It's funny. It's like whenever I have 5 or 10 minutes just because there's nothing, you know, I'm like, oh God, what am I doing? And I just turn it on because it's literally like as you walk into my living room, there's a hole in the kitchen counter. You know, you have like one of
those. An island. Counters. Yeah.
So it's sitting right up there.
All right, cool.
It's perfectly. Yeah. So I've played it a few times. I tried Pac-N-Pow. Not a fan.
I looked into it. Yeah, I saw what it was. Yeah,
it's a little funky.
Yeah.
But again, they were just trying to make, obviously, different versions of Pac-Man.
Of course. And speaking of which, I'll mention this. I finally, after being persistent, being annoying, and being consistent,
so
I finally
yourself.
Yes, I finally got Arcade 1-Up to finally comment on the Ms. Pac-Man situation.
Yes.
And as I've asked them, I said, hey, with this Ms. Pac-Man, is there the hyperspeed mode? Is there a sped up mode? Because again, growing up, I thought that fast version was the only version of Ms. Pac-Man.
Yep.
And then they promptly responded, no. So,
but you got an answer?
I did get an answer finally. So that really, unfortunately, is the break of make or break with that arcade. So I will be passing on Ms. Pac-Man as much as it hurts. But now that opens up the door. Now I'm thinking either TMNT or the Final Fight Cabinet, and more to come down the road.
Yeah, and I did see, I saw Arcade 1-Up cabinets at Walmart when I went there yesterday, and I looked and I'm like, ooh, those are cool. Ooh, I have space for them.
Yeah, honestly, I have a perfect spot right over there.
Oh, this room is just going to be...
Oh, okay, just get some neon lighting in there, you're good to go.
Oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. Neon lighting, like do like a Pac-Man kind of walls. And,
yes.
You know, I can make this place insane.
Like a yellow, and then maybe if you get, depending on if you get the turtle cabinet, there's a green wall with lights.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this room is going to look really weird, but I don't care.
Get a Mortal Kombat just dripping blood on the wall.
Actually, that would probably be more my speed.
The dripping blood or the Mortal Kombat?
Mono blood.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Paint.
Right. We're still here. Well, then pay rent. all right, so let's get into it finally. First of all, as Anthony said, yes, this was a big week for a lot of good games. The Avengers, definitely worthwhile to purchase. Actually, a buddy of ours who was on our Barcade episode, Frankie, called me. And he was like, oh man, this Avengers game is going to be awesome. So, then I had to tell him, you know, talk him into getting a hard drive for his PS4. It's like, what do I delete? I'm like, nothing. Get a hard drive.
Get a hard drive.
Like, I got these flash drives. I'm like, Frankie, that's not going to work.
No. And, I talked to Frankie yesterday morning about
it. He just calls us. He just called one after another. He'll just call us.
No. I called him because he called me Thursday night, but I was busy because he was confused. He's like, I don't know if I should get it and this, that, and the other. And, you know, he has been obsessed with MLB show on PS4, literally.
Yes.
Whenever I was on, even on the West Coast, like I was on my PS4 at like 11 o'clock at night on my PS4. It's like 2 a.m. obviously on the East Coast, and he was still on playing. Literally Avengers comes out, he's like, yeah, I'm done with MLB. But he was telling me yesterday, he's like, yeah, he's like, I think it might be the best game I've ever played. And I'm like, that's a bold statement.
Yeah,
because he plays a lot of stuff too. I was looking at the reviews online, you know, they're kind of so-so. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if that's the kind of game for you, like, you know, obviously, Frankie and I, huge comic book fans growing up and everything like that. So now being able to see like these video games based off of our comic book heroes, you know, we're going to be a little biased towards it. So him saying it's the best game he's ever played is awesome. So I'm really happy that he's enjoying it. And I'm now curious about getting it myself.
You know, A, the demo may still be available. So check it out. And B, remember, it's not based on the movies. Yeah. So that's what I think makes it even a little bit better as well. So that's kind of, I may get that on Steam just to get something on Steam. Not Steam, Stadia. So I'll think about it. I'll see. But if you guys get on the PS4, I just may end up getting on the PS4.
Yeah, because there's a multiplayer.
There is multiplayer, but Stadia right now is giving $10 off for any game that you purchase. So it's just a little cheaper.
Just wait a month. It'll go on sale.
Trust me. That is another reason why I haven't bought it yet.
And not only that, like Black Friday starts November 1st. So
I forget where we are in the calendar.
Yeah.
It's now
September. Although it still feels like March.
I want to get your thoughts though, because also that dropped was Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2.
You mean this?
Yes. That's the only copy in existence.
This is it.
That one right there.
Copy. Nobody buys physical copies but me.
Nope, basically.
Picked up Tony Hawk yesterday. Thoughts? Had to go to two stores. First off, because I went to Walmart and this very unhappy woman who did not want to be working at 8 o'clock in the morning. Please. So she went in the back and she's like, I'm sorry, we don't have it yet. She's like, we probably didn't get the shipment. And I'm like, well, you know what? I purposely didn't pre-order it because the last time I pre-ordered a game, I didn't get it till like 7 or 8 o'clock that night. And I'm impatient. And not only that, I usually have my mornings are more free up than later in the day. So it was like, I really wanted to get my hands on it first thing. Ran over to Target. Target had it sit. Actually, the guy was just putting them out. And I'm like, thinking,
I want it now.
So picked it up, obviously came home, installed it, turned it on, went through tutorial mode, obviously, because it's been, I don't know, 15 years at least since I've played Tony Hawk.
No, maybe. Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what I mean? Like, I played the I played the first two on my Dreamcast. I don't remember if the third one was on Dreamcast. It may not have been.
I don't remember.
But anyway, so install it, pop it on, do the tutorial. Oh my God. It's like just like, literally, I was like, I felt like it was 2000 all over again.
I got the same feeling.
Yeah, I was like, I just had that really great nostalgia feel. I mean, the graphics are amazing and everything like that, but it's just like you put the controller in your hand, it just feels normal. Like going into muscle memory and doing the moves and stuff like that were great. I will say this, I suck at it. Yeah. I don't remember everything I'm supposed to. But also on top of that, I think they've changed the game. I feel like they've played with the physics a little bit more.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, like in other words, it's like, I know I can't get as much airtime as I used to. And I'm wondering, and obviously, as you go along, you can enhance the characters by adding, you know, because you know they have bars on
stats. Like,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, the stats. So you can upgrade the stats. So I'm just assuming once you upgrade the stats, you'll be able to do that. Because, like, I'm trying to do special moves. And I remember I used to be able to, like, string along three or four moves, no problem. Mm-hmm. Here, it's like I try and do two and I crash.
So, yeah, I'm sure they changed it up because it is a remake. And I remember we were talking and, you know, you were saying how you were having trouble with the controllers. Did you switch up the controller option, though? Remember I was telling you there's like a retro mode.
I did not switch to retro mode yet.
Okay.
So, and I really think I need to because one of the things I remember clearly when you would play the original one is you would use the L and R triggers to spin when you're in the air. You would automatically spin by holding holding L or R trigger. In this one, when you press, you know, L or R, you know, the left or right trigger, it takes you out of the half pipe. It's like if I press R, if you press R trigger, the right trigger, as you're going up in the air, it flattens you out so you land outside the half pipe.
Yeah, I think that's just pure controls. Definitely.
Exactly. So, but here's the thing. I don't see a button on there that lets you just spin. You have to like press left or right to
control. Yeah. Yeah.
So and then on top of that, you're also using, you know, left, right, up and down to string moves together. So, you know, so there's a little, it's going to take some time to get used to unless I go and fiddle with the controls to make it more like the way I played it on Dreamcast. So that part I'm still working out. But I will say, like, the levels, like, going back to those levels, amazing. And they've definitely enhanced them some, or at least in my recollection, they've enhanced them some. Really awesome. It's just great. And even, like, when you first start a level and you get, like, the sweeping overview display of the map and it's telling you all the achievements you have to do, like, collect the word skate, the letters in the word skate, find the secret tape. It's like all the stuff.
I forgot about the tape.
Yeah. Find the secret tape, like on the school level, collect the five textbooks, wall ride the five bells, you know, like all that stuff. It was just literally, they've definitely recaptured everything that was great about these first two. So far, and again, I've only played like maybe an hour or so. I did not have a lot of time yesterday, but I played what I could. So far, awesome. Now, add on to that, the multiplayer, it has online multiplayer mode where you can do like skate sessions with people and stuff like that. Absolutely awesome. You can find your friends in the game also. Now, you can't do a private lobby. That's not in the game.
Okay.
I'm hoping maybe in an update they'll add that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I would love to just be like, get a group of friends, we all skate together and go. But I think if you do... you can get invited into a group with somebody and then you can go online and there may be other people in it, but at least you're with your friends.
Okay. All right.
That part's okay. Now, the big issue with online, and I'm still trying to find out what's going on here because obviously the game just came out yesterday, but there's something wrong with my game because when I try to access the online portion where I can see my friend, you know, you can see your friends that are online playing, but for my game, I can't do it. Like, I press the trackpad to access online and I get a little screen up top saying accessing online. And then it just goes away and nothing happens.
It could have been the first night.
It could be. Yeah. My friend though, he invited me to his session. And when I accept the invite, it doesn't take me anywhere. So there's definitely something going on. And I know, I deleted the game and reinstalled it to see if that would help.
Yeah.
After I did that, there was an update file that downloaded. I'm like, oh, maybe that'll fix it. And that didn't. And my friend also had an issue with that as well. So he deleted the game and reinstalled it, but it worked for him. So I don't know if I have to do it again until I can get that.
I would like to think it's just first night, you know, just the server being the server, but I'm sure that they'll get that fixed.
The issue actually is there's something on the bottom of the screen that I should be seeing that's not there.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
So that's part of it. So like, I'm going to look it up online later and see what's going on. I tried it this morning, same problem. Mm-hmm. So I'm having some issues with the online part, but in terms of the game itself, like just playing through the boards and stuff like that, absolutely fantastic.
All right, good. Excellent. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to, I mean, I played the demo. I haven't had a chance to play the game itself. And this week I probably won't be able to get to it till Monday. Well, when we're recording Labor Day. So, cause it'll be kind of busy, but yeah. All right, cool. Definitely looking forward to it. Let me know once you switch up the control, when you get to retro, just let me know. Cause I feel like when I found that and I switched it while playing the demo, I felt like my gameplay changed for the better.
All right, cool. Yeah, so it's definitely something that I need to do.
All right, cool. All right, excellent. So everyone check out Tony Hawk Pro. And it's funny too, I talked to my cousin who, you know, not a huge gamer like us, but you know, I play PUBG with him and he's definitely played back in the day. When I told him that it was released, he was like, oh, I remember those games. I got to go get that now. I'm like, trust me, it's going to be well worth it.
Oh yeah, no. It's definitely worth it. And not only that, but you get Tony Hawk 1 and 2. You get a free skate option. And then on top of that, it's only $40. They didn't even put it out at a full 60.
Yeah. Wasn't too bad. I mean, I think I got the digital deluxe, get some stupid character name.
Yeah, there are different versions and stuff like that. So
all righty. I'll try that joke again. I think I got some stupid character named the Ripper.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
We'll see. All right. So, all right, so let's get into some big news, and I want to if I know we're gonna hopefully try and talk about High Score, but during the week something dropped from Nintendo that everyone already knows about by now. Trust me, we're not breaking any news here, but correct. I gotta say I've probably rewatched this Nintendo Direct about 10 times already. And I
just got the news from you, so I didn't have to watch it.
I haven't been this giddy, this excited for a game release of games I already own in a long, long time. I'm just so stoked about this. It's ridiculous. Makes no sense. But we're going to get into it. 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
The game that restarted it all. Actually, because of watching High Score. There he is. There he is.
My buddy.
My pal. You know, after the video game crash, thank you, Atari, Nintendo comes and saves the day, and this plumber from Brooklyn, all three of us Brooklyn natives.
Yeah.
And, of course, it would take an Italian from Brooklyn, who's a plumber, to go and save the Mushroom Kingdom. I said, and also a plumber. To save the Mushroom Kingdom. And Super Mario Brothers was an absolute, literal game changer. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
And Nintendo dropped their Super Mario 35th anniversary Nintendo Direct, and I hit the ceiling. So they are planning through the end of March, Nintendo's going to be doing a lot of stuff with Super Mario. And they should. It's their flagship character, and they're really their biggest, their flagship. Ooh, still unwrapped.
Unwrapped.
Wow. That's cool.
I got lots of Mario stuff.
Good. Show it off. And oh, yes.
Mario puzzles. Only at GameStop.
Only at GameStop. Nowhere else. eBay is not allowed to sell it.
Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply. Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Mario Power Up card game.
I'm curious how that plays.
Well, come over and we'll find out.
I would, maybe. We'll see.
Just get in your new car and drive.
I would.
I'll give you some cereal.
I've had that cereal. Had to remember. That's the cereal I ate when I visited you when you were in L.A.
That is correct.
And it was good, except you had that weird almond milk.
I love almond milk.
Yeah, well.
I like my almond milk.
I didn't.
Well, that's your problem. I can't help it if you have bad taste.
How dare you? Yes. Yep. I'm going to be breaking that open.
30 years. Now it needs to be updated.
That's true. Last 5 years.
There's been some stuff. All
never happened.
Yep. So go ahead. You were saying.
All right. Well, every time I pull up the website, you disappear. So I had to make sure. No, it's okay. So through the end of March, Nintendo's going to be doing a lot of stuff with Mario. And right off the bat, let's just talk about what's already been announced. First of all, dropping in February, so we got some time. And a lot of this we heard coming through rumors, but for me, I don't really count on rumors. It's not until I see the actual release from the company themselves. In February, we are getting on the Switch Super Mario 3D World, which was on the Wii U.
And I loved that game.
Game was fantastic.
Absolutely loved that game.
It introduced Cat Mario,
which is awesome.
And it was great gameplay. Fantastic gameplay. It had like a side-scrolling, a linear feel to it, I should say, not side-scrolling, but still with a 3D aspect. It's weird. But of course, they don't just kind of leave it alone. It's Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury.
Ooh.
And there's no information yet on Bowser's Fury because we got till February for this to come out. But there's definitely going to be some new game, a new a DLC, for lack of a better term, because it's not really DLC. But it looks very interesting. It's very dark. Obviously, it's going to have something to do with Bowser. I'm looking forward to see more as time goes on about Bowser.
I would have loved it if they took all the worlds and switched it around and Bowser tries to retake it from Mario after he completes.
Trust me, it looks like something like that, because like you have the bell, which turns into Cat Mario, this giant bell, but it's got spikes on it, it's dark, and Mario's just kind of standing in front of it, it's raining. Not a lot of info on that yet, but more to come. This, I thought, was really interesting. So, a new-ish Mario Kart game is coming out. Did you see this?
Yes.
So, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I cannot purchase this because I don't have the room. I was going to buy it maybe for my godson and his little brother, but their dog would destroy it. And probably they will too. But basically what it is a Mario or Luigi physical RC car. Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing this properly, you should see some film of the trailers, if I'm doing this correct, as we talk. It's a physical RC car that has a camera on it, and you turn the real world into a Mario Kart level.
Yep.
That blew my mind.
It's just awesome. I mean, it's
crazy.
The innovative ways that Nintendo has been like coming up with stuff.
They just continue to do it. And they take chances. We know this. We've talked about it. Some work, some don't work. This home circuit, though, I think is going to be a big deal. And I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. I'm really curious to see how it actually shakes out.
Because you can literally make any sort of course you want, and the real world comes into play. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we got that. Paper Mario, Origami King's already been out. That's cool. Lego, Super Mario. Have you even started? Probably not putting together Nintendo.
In fact, the box is sitting out right here in my office because I want to start it. But I haven't yet.
Fair enough. Throughout the year, through March, there's going to be in-game events. Oh, that was the cat. I don't know what that was.
I told you, my cat is...
Cat Mario?
Cat Mario!
Are you Cat Mario? Look at that. He is just like... Yeah, there you go.
Monster. That's it. He's good. He's sitting on me.
Okay, fair enough. In-game events throughout the year with Super Mario Maker 2, with Splatoon 2, with Super Smash Brothers. Even in the mobile games. In fact, I just downloaded Mario Kart on the mobile app. Mm-hmm. Because I tried playing it before and I wasn't crazy about it. But again, they're doing like in-game stuff. So I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Now I'm actually learning it and it's not that bad anymore. But then the two biggest announcements that I am really psyched about. First, we are getting... I know we had some people who wanted to talk about this, but we weren't going to deep dive into this. But definitely a shout out to you, Charles, because you are a fan of these little, you know, handheld gaming devices. But we're getting a brand new Game & Watch.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. That, you know what? That's actually one that I would buy.
Yes.
I have in my collection.
I cannot wait. There's no pre-order detail just yet. It's coming out November 13th. Mm-hmm. It is an old school Game & Watch. I think everyone who's listening probably is aware of that. If you're not, it was this little LCD. No, not even. No, LCD or LED?
No, it would be LCD.
Yeah. LCD, yeah. So LCD, individual games, very simple. You know, they were very, the system was small and also doubled as a clock. You know, just like a little alarm clock. But they're re-releasing a Game & Watch with Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels for us, Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan, mm-hmm. and a Mario version of Ball, which was an original Game & Watch game. This thing's going to be in full color, which would be a first time for a Game & Watch. Mm-hmm. It will keep time as well. You can use it as a clock, as originally intended. They say it's going to come with a plus pad. I don't know if that means an external controller. It was weird. I didn't get that, and I don't see it anywhere on the website. So I was a little confused with that announcement. But this thing is going to be, and they've said already, and we've already gone through this, limited quantity.
Of course.
So we got to be careful what that means. But that's going to drop November 13th. As soon as we see pre-order details, we'll put it up on our social media pages.
Yep, sounds like a plan. What do you
but want? Ant, this, you're really eyeing this thing?
Oh yeah, no, I definitely am. I go, but more for a collector's perspective. I'm not gonna. I don't see myself opening it up and playing it because, again, the screen is so small. I was like, I would buy it just to add it to my collection.
Agreed. All right, and there he is, showing the best part of his cat. Yes. What the heck, these cats? Yeah, so that's
good. What do you want from me?
That's going to be awesome. And then the piece de resistance. Again, we heard it was happening. Here it is, folks. Again, available for a limited time. Very odd. Well, actually, there was another part of it, too, I'll mention in a moment. Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
Yes.
So we are getting, in one game, Super Mario 64, originally on the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. Groundbreaking. Probably the best Mario game. Some people will say until Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And if you played Odyssey, for you newer players, if you played Odyssey, you're going to love Super Mario 64.
Yeah, Odyssey is outstanding.
Yep. From the GameCube, Super Mario Sunshine.
Yes, I've never played that.
A game that doesn't get a lot of love, but it is a good one. I had it. I didn't play it that much, but I definitely had it, and I remember having fun with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also remember, I think GameCube was the first system, like, for a while that... did not have a Mario game when it first came out.
It's the only Mario game on there.
The only one?
Yeah.
Well, it's the only Mario game on there, but when GameCube came out, it came out with Luigi's Mansion.
Correct. Yeah, it took a little while to get a Mario platformer.
Yes.
And then from the Wii, we are getting Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, another one I haven't played because I didn't have a Wii.
I had it, and again, just one where I didn't play it. Not, you know, when I had the GameCube and the Wii, just, you know, I was in college, I was just out of college. So, you know, again, as usual, life gets in the way. But three tremendous games. It's coming out September 18th, so right around the corner. You can get it digitally on the eShop. And they're going to do a limited, again, limited production of a physical copy, which as of right now, unless it's sold out, is available on Amazon.
Oh, then I better get on top.
Yes. It is fantastic to see these three games. And they're going to be, like, Super Mario 64 has better resolution. Super Mario Sunshine, you can play in 16:9 ratio for the first time. Super Mario Galaxy, you can use the Joy-Cons, like the original Wiimotes and the Wii Nunchuck. My only hope, they didn't say anything, but my only hope is that for Super Mario Sunshine, you can use the GameCube controller as you can use the GameCube on the Switch. So, knock on wood.
Cool.
And, of course, we would love to see an N64 controller for Super Mario, but I think the Joy-Cons will be just fine for that.
Yeah, I think it'll work, but for Mario 64, it's like, again, muscle memory. Like
exactly.
A weird controller that requires three hands.
Yep. Yeah, honestly. So, I just staring at this page, the splash page here on the SuperMario35.com, I can't wait. It's going to also, the game, Super Mario All-Stars 3D, is going to have a music player, so you can play like over 170 tunes from these games.
Awesome.
Which is really cool. Also, a couple other things, or one other thing to announce that they announced. They're also going to be putting out, this comes out in October. Again, only going to run till March. It's going to be free if you have Nintendo Online. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Brothers 35. It's basically Tetris 99.
Yes.
But Super Mario Brothers 35.
Yes, I am excited about that.
So you play against 34 other people at the same time. Mm-hmm. And if you play Tetris 99, you already know what it's all about.
Yeah. My big question with that is, like, are we going to be able to sync up and play in the same rounds?
I don't know, because Tetris 99 is just go on and you play. Yeah. So, but they might do something with an update. But again, I'm sorry, I'm just moving my thing. It's very weird. These games are being released for a limited time. Mm-hmm. Like Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Why does he look depressed?
I don't know, here.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars is only going to be available till March, which means starting in April, you won't be able to buy the game digitally. Yet, if you were to delete the game, if you bought it digitally originally and deleted it, you can still re-download it, so it'll be there. I don't get the limited quantity thing.
We all know how Nintendo is with, limited quantities and controlling things and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the way Disney used to do it,
Yeah, it's going back in the vault.
Buy this now before it goes back in the vault. I'm like, Nintendo kind of does the same thing. I mean, they would always, and again, this was the old school, like in the 80s, 90s and stuff like that, when the crash had happened and they were worried about, we don't want to overproduce and undersell. So I just think that they're doing the same thing here where it's like, okay, it's like, we're going to release a limited quantity. We'll see how it does. If it does really well, I guarantee you they'll release more.
But not only, all right, the physical part, fine. I can almost understand. But they're going to pull it. Yeah, they're going to pull it from the eShop. Super Mario 35 is only going to be available from October 1st through March 31st. Playable, which I think means after March 31st, even after you download it, you're not going to be able to play it anymore.
That's weird.
Yeah, from my understanding. So it's kind of weird. I don't get that part. Mm. But, are you excited? I know we've talked in the past about games being re-released. This is probably going to be the fifth time I've bought Super Mario 64. Mm. You know what I mean? But it's just something about it now that just, like, it's time. It's 35th anniversary. These games are iconic. And even at the end of the presentation, they showed this graph. There are a ton of Mario games available on the Switch as we speak.
Yeah, and no, I am excited about it. I have to say, unlike you, I'm not necessarily always I'm not always supportive of buying things over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I do it. Hello. And the reason why we do it is out of convenience. In other words, it's like, I don't want to essentially keep every single console I have hooked up. Although now that I have space to do it, I might, but I don't necessarily want it to be that way. So it's easier to just buy it again. The issue that I'll have is like with 3D All-Stars, like, it's appealing to me because there are two out of the three games on there I've never played.
Okay.
So there's an appeal just for that reason. However, even though there are, you know, two out of the three I haven't played, what I'm not particularly fond of is the fact of I have to pay full price for this. So
it is $60. Yeah.
It's $60 for all three. And granted, now it evens out to $20 a game, which is fine. But I think because they were older games on an older system, like I would feel more comfortable, like if they had put them in the digital eShop, like these games would probably be $6 or $7.
Actually,
do they charge more for these?
I'm going to cut you off for a second. You were able to, on the Wii U, you could have downloaded Super Mario. Actually, you could download Wii games on the Wii U, and those were $20 at the time. Yes, Super Mario 64 probably would have been $10.
Right.
So that's
the only thing where I'm looking at it, and I'm like, do I want to pay $60 for this? Honestly, not really, even though there are games there I haven't played. Because again, I go, these are games that were already in existence. They're just transferring them to a new system. I don't know if they're updating the graphics or anything like that. I'm assuming they are.
A little bit, yeah, you know. Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, yeah, I'm excited about it. And at the same time, I'm not excited about it at the price point that it is.
You know what? To me, though, with the price point, I get it. Because when I saw $60, I was like, ooh, that's interesting. But I treat it as like when I go to the concession stand at a or when I used to go to a concession stand at a sporting event. You know you're going to pay $7 for a hot dog, even though a hot dog should be like
$2. That's why I need hot dogs.
Hot dogs are awesome. But you're going to do it anyway because you know you're in a sporting event and everything's going to be overpriced.
Yep.
Nintendo's always going to do that top-tier pricing. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they rarely go on sale. So it's like you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yes. No, and I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. If anything, it would almost challenge me more to pull out the Wii and play Galaxy, because I actually bought Galaxy and Galaxy 2 for the Wii, for the Wii when I bought it
a couple years ago.
Sunshine, I don't think I own.
On GameCube? Yeah, no, I definitely have it. But you know, you make a really good point. Well, first of all, two things. One, the internet is blowing up at the fact that Galaxy 2 is not on this collection.
Yes, I saw that.
maybe later on down the road, because they're still going to do more stuff. Like, they're putting out sneakers, Mario-themed sneakers. They're putting out, actually, a Mario Monopoly. I know you collect board games.
I'm a Clue guy, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying, though, Monopoly is big enough.
I think there's a Mario Kart Monopoly I saw in the store the other day.
There is. I think they're doing, like, a newer Mario. Yeah. There's going to be, like, a Mario Jenga, amongst other things, like Lunchables are doing stuff. So they're planning a lot of stuff this year. Forgive me. I just had to sit back on my couch, and now all three of my chins are coming out, so I apologize. Nice. Mo, Larry, and Curly. So this is going to be a big year for us, especially for Nintendo fans. More to come. And the last thing to mention is they also dropped on the Super NES Online Collection, Super Mario All-Stars, like the original Super Mario All-Stars, which is a great game.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was an excellent game.
Fun game. So we'll see what's going on. Again, I'm stoked about this. Can't wait to see what's available. And on your end, I'm thinking if they're doing this for Mario, maybe they'll do this for Zelda.
Yep, and then it'll really put me to the test of, am I going to spend $60 on games I already own? Oh,
that was the other thing I wanted to mention. So I was talking to my friends at Game On, and we were just chatting. And we talk about how games fluctuate. You know, the prices go up, prices go down for old games. And, you know, I really didn't get an answer because customers came in and got busy. But when stuff like this happens, the re-release of these three games, what does that do, I wonder, to the market? Because like you just said, Ant, you can buy this collection for $60, but it's kind of wanting you to go back and play the original copies. A, you already have them.
Yep.
But a lot of people are going to want to buy them. And I know Sunshine is actually a pricey game already on the market.
Yep.
So, you know, even that, sometimes that alone is worth it for just the re-release, you know, just budget-wise.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm wondering how these resales of the original copies are going to be.
I'll be honest. I'm I don't think it'll affect the original copies that much. And the only reason why I say that is because not everybody is in the market for collecting the original games. Mm-hmm. I actually think if anything, they'll be more inclined to buy the new version because obviously they have the Switch. So I don't foresee it affecting the market at all.
I think it will, because like when I go to Game On and I see a lot of these people come in and they just buying these old games, mm-hmm. I think there's a group out there. I'm not saying enough to, you know, keep the industry going, which I hope it does, of course, but there's definitely going to be a lot of people who will be seeking out now these original copies, these original versions. So I think it will help a little bit, kind of like how the Analog Pocket will just help with the sale of Game Boy games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, of course, time will tell, but this is awesome. And the one other thing I meant to mention before, and then we'll try and get to a high score. Sorry, high score. Just this news came out of nowhere. So, you know, this was all late breaking for us by the time we're recording. Nintendo's doing something very interesting that I like for us who purchase digital copies. Mm-hmm. A lot of times on all the platforms, when you pre-order a digital copy, that's it. You're locked in. Yep. I think except if you live in Wisconsin. I think there's a law that you can get your money back on a pre-order, digital. But everywhere, at least here in New York, once I pre-order it, they charge me, and I got to wait. Nintendo is now doing something very interesting. You can pre-order a game, but they will not charge you until about a week before the game comes out.
Yes.
So now I have the ability, if I change my mind, I go, you know what? You know, as long as it's not within 7 days, let me cancel this. Which I think is a really cool idea and very innovative. Because just because I'm buying a digital, pre-ordering a digital, why do I have to lock myself into it when you pre-order a physical copy and you can go ahead and cancel it if you wanted to?
Yeah, and I think that's what it ultimately came down to. I want to say there was some type of legal thing that happened. There was a legal challenge to that, mm-hmm. Which may have prompted them to make this decision. And I'm not saying it's because they lost or something like that, but I just think it was a valid argument where it's like, why can't I cancel a pre-order? I can do it physically. Why can't I do it digitally?
Exactly.
It's sensible.
You're right. Logical. To me, it totally makes sense. I get it. If you're seven days out, all right, fine. You lock it in, you're good to go. Yep. But you know, this far out, like I have now Super Mario 3D World on pre-order. I have a collection of Saga, the Final Fantasy Game Boy games on pre-order. That comes out in December. Technically, I pre-ordered this one. And it's just nice to know that I haven't been charged yet. So for four games, two of them full price, one of them $20,
yep.
I wasn't immediately charged $150. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
It's, yeah, spaced out. I haven't seen if that is on the PS4 and the Xbox. I don't know if they're doing it. I don't know if it's a company-wide thing or whatever, but very cool. And the other thing I like is that also for Nintendo, on the deals page, you know, everything that's getting marked down, it'll actually give you a timer. It'll let you know when that sale ends.
Oh, cool.
And they vary. Everyone vary, but at least you have an idea. So if you need the budget, you get a good idea. So that, for us digital purchasers, Nintendo's really coming around and doing some new cool things for us. So,
yeah, and that's great. You know, look, Nintendo has always been about the, you know, about the gamer. They really have been. I really do think so. I mean, granted, they're a business and all, but you know, like they know what their customers want,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to, you know, and they always manage to put it together. And to your point, like they do take risks and do innovative stuff, but as the more, even as they do more innovative stuff, they also go back to the old reliable stuff. And not only that, I mean, it's just a good.
Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply. Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
It's a very good business decision because you're taking content that already exists and you're just, you know, updating it for the current market. So, it's just good business sense. I'm sorry. I always look at the business side of it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Look, that's what they're there for. It's a business thing. I have no problem with that. Look, you know, people got to make money.
Yeah. As you can see, I mean, we as customers and, you know, and fans of them, we're always happy with what they, you know, what they put out. So.
Oh yeah, totally. All right. And also go check out supermario35.com. They got a lot of cool stuff. They got a cool Mario quiz. It's a 5-question Mario quiz. Nice. That's fun to take, which actually I got 3 out of 5, shockingly.
Oh, only 3.
So yeah, there's a couple of them I missed out on.
Okay.
All right. So with that,
yes.
I think we can now dip into.
I got my notes.
I know, me too. I'm so, like I said, this Mario thing came out of nowhere, so we apologize. High score. But finally we're going to talk about on Netflix.
Yes.
A wonderful 6-episode series called High Score, which features the voice of Mario.
Yes, Charles Martinet.
Yep, so he's narrating it. And it just basically brings you through the history from Atari to basically present day. Yes, I know we're going to talk about it now. So Ant, what is your take on High Score?
It kind of came out of nowhere, which was, the other surprise. Like all of a sudden, like at the beginning of August, I'm hearing, oh, there's this Netflix documentary dropping. And then they dropped a trailer and then it came out like 2 or 3 weeks later. So I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. This is just kind of surprising and out of nowhere. And obviously as gamers, definitely going to watch it. My initial reaction to it was,
I just want to do this. We're going to give the spoiler alert now. We're going to try not to purposely give spoilers, but some may come out. So spoiler alert. Okay.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert. It's a documentary about the history of video games. So if you don't know this information, whether you hear it or you watched the documentary, it's information that's been out there for quite some time.
Some stuff is interesting.
Well, no, but what I mean is we're talking about like 50 years of history here. But anyway, what I really liked about it the most was how focused each episode was.
Yes.
Like each episode had a specific theme that they stuck to so that you were able to follow along with each topic. And I liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought what they did was they gave ultimately a really good broad overview of each one. They didn't get super detailed, which to be honest, I would have loved. And maybe if this does well and they continue with it, I would love to see more. But what I like is that they gave you basically all the general stuff that is kind of common knowledge, but not all of it is fully common knowledge.
True.
So like you got, like what I got out of this documentary the most were actually hearing from the actual people that were involved in creating some of the most iconic moments, technology, and just, you know, they're the ones that helped define the gaming industry in certain ways. So so that was really the part that I enjoyed the most. I loved the 8-bit animation that they used.
Yes.
As people are telling story. And that was a cool thing too. It's like, cause normally like if you watch a documentary, a lot of times it's like somebody's sitting in a chair, they're telling you a story, you're listening to them. And then they go to like a couple of videos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because this was, for video games, you can't just go to like, oh, here's a video of the guy sitting outside or something like that. So how do you capture what he's talking about video game wise? They did 8-bit animation of the stories that these people were telling. And I thought that was really entertaining. And I thought they did it in such a really cool way too, because it was almost like it was almost like a, it wasn't like clean animation. It was 8-bit. It had some stop motion to it, which was fun. I thought they did a really good job with that. Like I said, I don't want to dive into the specifics yet because I want to hear what you thought overall.
Overall, again, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought they delivered, you know, just enough. I know you talked about really going into deep diving into it, but I think they, for the topics, each topic, like you said, Ant, each episode was really dedicated to a topic. Mm-hmm. And the interviews that they were able to pull out were really good. For the most part, they got basically everyone. I think the only one he's talked about it so many times. I think Miyamoto, I think, was the only one really that they didn't get to, whether they tried or whatever. But and also I liked how that, you know, it's definitely, you felt it was a labor of love. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't out there to try and either debunk something or show the dark side. Like, if I may compare it to a show that I watched, I don't want to go into specifics, but basically they didn't show the dark side. Yes, there was some to it because it's part of it, but like, that wasn't the goal. The end goal was to be like, here's how these games came about. You know, here are the designers, the makers, why they loved it and why we should love it. Even in the episode about violent video games, which you knew was coming up at some point, they really didn't go hardcore into it.
No.
I think it did what it did. It caught my attention. I always feel when I watch this stuff, and I know, Ant, you roll your eyes when I say this, but because, you know, you're doing stuff in Hollywood and I, you know, what you do for a living, I know you always have...
It's an instant reaction.
No, I get it. I get it. I always feel like you watch it in a different perspective than I do. Mm-hmm. Me just being a straight up fan, just watching. But they nailed it, and there wasn't any jabbing or anything. And it brought light. Even on the dark topics, it still ultimately brought light.
I agree. And another added touch that I really enjoyed in this one that I can't remember ever seeing necessarily in any other video game documentary or anything like that. They brought in actual gamers, and I'm talking about like gamers like Jeff Hansen, the kid who won the Nintendo World Championship back in 1990, and Becky. Becky Heinemann, who won the Space Invaders championship back in like 1981 or
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like it was great to hear from those people because here were the actual super fans and gamers who they're part of video game history because of what they experienced as a kid, as a gamer. And I thought that was a really nice touch too, because, it gave you an idea on what those kids were thinking back then when they were entering this world, you know, the video game world as it was young, and as they were young. So, and kind of also at the same time that we were, you know what I mean? So cool to relate to that because we both went to the Nintendo World Championship in 1990.
That's what I wanted to mention. Okay. So one of the episodes, I think it was the Nintendo episode. It was episode two.
Yep.
So they talk about, as Anthony just said, the 1990 Nintendo Power Fest World Championship. And it was all across the country. Me and Anthony, and this is long before we met each other. Not that long. It was about 4 or 5 years. But we didn't know each other. And in New York, it was held at the Jacob Javits Center. So we both went. And as when we became friends, we kind of stumbled upon the fact that we were both there. And I will not believe you. If you tell me that during those scenes, you were not trying to figure out if they were at the Javits and if you were trying to find yourself.
No, I did not.
Oh, come on. No. BS.
More importantly, I was afraid I was going to.
I'm looking at the camera. I'm looking at the screen. Because you actually played. You actually played in tournament. I freaked out. I didn't play in the tournament.
Yeah, I played in the tournament twice, and that was the main reason why I did not want to find myself. Because the last thing I needed to see was how horrible was Tetris back then. Tetris was a new game to me.
Yeah. Tetris is new to everybody. That was the whole thing. He said he had to practice on Tetris.
Yeah, and that was my thing too, because after I played in the tournament the first time and I bombed, I went over to a Game Boy, and for about like 30 or 45 minutes, I remember my poor dad was just standing there like a tree stump while I was playing Tetris, trying to understand how the game worked so that I can go back and try in the tournament again. And then when I went back the second time, I did a better job, but still lost.
So. Can you imagine? Because I played Tetris too on Game Boy. Can you imagine if we were standing next to each other and then both our fathers kind of be like, can you believe our kids?
Honestly, if that were the case, we would have been friends.
Oh, that's true. That's probably true. That's probably true.
Yeah.
And then
that's
I
said, our two fathers are like, I hate our children. Yeah.
When I saw the Mario, because you remember they had Mario and Luigi were there. And when I saw, and it, to this day, I don't know who came up with that design of that Mario suit.
Terrifying. You
know, it was someone in a Mario, it was like a mascot, Mario suit. But I remember seeing those, and it just brought, that was probably my most fun part of the series was the Power Fest.
I agree with that. That part was really cool. But to break it down a little bit more, and I just wanted to talk really briefly about each episode. But the first episode really goes back to the, you know, like the 70s and the 80s, the early 80s
It's definitely a timeline. You knew, because like episode two, without jumping ahead, when I realized in order they're going, I'm like, all right, now I'm like, I can almost figure out what the next episode is.
Yeah.
Not that it's brain.
Yeah. They made surgery. It chronological, which was really cool. So they start in episode one and they kind of glossed over the early days, like the really early days of like the Odyssey and Pong and stuff like that. And what they really did is they started with when consoles really became more, home-based with multiple cartridges. And again, I was really happy to see them interview Nolan Bushnell, who was the originator, you know, the person who founded Atari, created Atari. And then going into the story of Jerry Lawson, I want to say his name was. Was it Jerry Lawson? The man who created the actual cartridge, the video game cartridge.
Oh, yes. They interviewed his kids and his grandkid.
They interviewed his family because he passed on in, I think, 2011 or something like that. But just hearing his story, because he's one of the guys who's kind of been forgotten in video game history. He's probably one of the most important people because he literally invented the video game cartridge. Without the video game cartridge, we wouldn't have been able to play multiple games on one console, because back then you had Pong and you just bought Pong and that's all that existed, and so on and so forth.
It was the Channel F was the very first system. And, you know, even his I think it was his son who said, hopefully if anything out of this, it will shine light on his father, which it should, but also maybe shine light on these older consoles as well. Because you're right, if it, you know, history forgotten is history repeated. I'm a firm believer in that, whether it's in real life or in business. So, you know, that was cool to see that part.
Jerry Lawson was, Jerry Lawson is his name. And again, it was the Fairchild Channel F, which was the first ever cartridge-based system. Something for me to find for my collection. but yeah, the whole idea behind episode one, and then they really kind of dove into Space Invaders, because Space Invaders was one of the most successful arcade games ever made.
Probably the first hit after Pong.
Yeah, the first hit after Pong. Like I said, there was a Space Invaders championship in the U.S. that Becky Heinemann won.
She said she was playing for like her and someone else, because they basically like tied, I think. Or no, like three people tied and she just happened to have the high score. But they played for like an hour?
I think an hour or like, no, I think it was like an hour and 45 minutes.
I can't get past level two.
Yeah, like I think they basically played to the point where like the actual
judges in
the tournament said, okay, that's enough.
We got to go home.
They didn't have a time limit. Because most people play Space Invaders, you're done in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were going for like 2 hours and they were like, okay, yeah, you know what, we're done. so it was really cool to hear from her. And then jumping over to episode, and then obviously they talked about Pac-Man. They talked about E.T. and how E.T.
Yes, they interviewed that guy. I don't remember. I'm terrible with names. And it's funny. Episode one is the only one I didn't write notes on.
Well, you know, that's funny. That was the same thing with me. I wrote notes for everything except episode one.
And
I'm never going to remember names. I should write these down. Yeah. Howard Scott Warshaw.
You think we would know that because of E.T.
Yeah. And he's now the cool thing to learn about him is that he created some of the most iconic games on Atari, some of the most popular ones like Yar's Revenge. Everybody knows Yar's Revenge, which is great.
Yep.
Obviously with E.T., he only had 5 weeks to make it.
Literally,
The story is infamous.
But, A, it's great to know that he's, I don't want to say humble, I don't think the word is humble, but he recognizes that, he knows, I created the worst game ever made.
Yeah.
So he's but his story about meeting Spielberg was very interesting.
Yeah, that was really cool. So again, it's worth going back and checking that out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant by spoiler, like these stories or whatever.
Yes.
But that's what you go back. It's a very interesting story about him meeting Spielberg.
Yes. And then going into episode 2.
Yes, which was the NES episode.
Which was the Nintendo episode.
Because what happens is they close episode 1 with the crash. You know, all these games like Pac-Man and they interview a lot of old interviews, you know, like news would go to the local store. Hey, the new video game's out, back when that made the news. And, you know, the kids are like, oh, Pac-Man, and it's not like the arcade. Like they started to show, and then that's where the crash happened. And then episode 2 is NES, where, you know, Nintendo comes in and helps out.
Yes. And then you go into Nintendo and they talk about how Nintendo kind of revitalized the industry, and you hear from a lot of different people. I loved them talking about the guy who created Metroid and Donkey Kong, or worked on the sound for those, because sound is very important.
Yes.
And I love the fact that they got different people. They got people who designed the games, they got people who did the sound for the games. And in episode 2, they focused on his name is Hirokazu Tanaka, who created the sound for Metroid and Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into details on, like, how he comes about, like, figuring out how to do the sounds. And that's the type of stuff that's, like, really worth watching this to find out. They go into the lawsuit from Universal with Donkey Kong and King Kong, and how their lawyer, John Kirby, won the lawsuit. You know, very cool story there.
And very, very interesting story. I think this can be – I mean, the story itself is interesting, but John Kirby was later immortalized by Nintendo as Kirby, the namesake, and maybe a little bit of a likeness, but Kirby is named after John Kirby, the lawyer who helped Nintendo win that lawsuit. And I got to admit, after listening to him talk, seeing him talk, and then unfortunately seeing that he passed away in 2019, that got me a little bit. I was like, ah, oh, that stinks.
Yeah, but it was really great that they got him for the documentary.
You know, they showed some old commercials. They'll show old commercials through this.
Yep.
The Mario face commercial, it's so iconic.
It's so awesome.
It's so iconic.
But yeah, like they show a lot of old commercials. They showed the test market that they did in New York City.
I forgot New York. Oh, yes. And you know what? I don't know if it's still available, but so New York City, of all places, New York City was a test market for the NES. Mm-hmm. Game On had in box one of those units.
Yes, I saw that and I want it.
Yeah, it was very – yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and then, of course, this brought me into somebody who probably – and you know, it's funny because when I read Console Wars and stuff like this, I knew this person's name. And the reason why she stuck out to me is because I've worked in this part of the entertainment industry before, and it's the part of the entertainment industry that I never, ever, ever believe gets enough credit.
Okay.
But it does. And I'm talking about Gail Tilden, who was their director of brand marketing, who eventually became like VP, EVP. Because people, I really do think people overlook how important it is to market something properly in order to maximize its success. And listening, like hearing her talking about how she marketed Nintendo in the US, because Nintendo of Japan was scared that they weren't going to be able to break into the U.S. market. So they hired this woman, Gail Tilden, to do what she wanted to get it out in market. And clearly she hit a home run with it.
Was she the one with Nintendo Power as well?
Yes, she was
the one with Nintendo
Power as well. So just listening to her stories for me kind of made me smile, because I'm like, yeah, I go, I've worked in brand marketing for years. And I always feel like we're kind of like the Siberia of the industry. No, we are. Yeah. Just kind of we sit off to the side. Nobody really pays attention. But It's so, so important. It's absolutely so important. So hearing her stories, I also love the fact that she was nicknamed the Dragon Lady because she was so dead set on what she wanted and she didn't let people compromise her.
The guy walked out. The guy from Japan walked out. She was trying to, she was pitching the magazine to come here.
Yep.
It was very funny. Yeah, she held her own.
Yeah, she did. Like I said, Jeff Hansen, because they go over the Nintendo World Championship. And then the part that made me laugh probably the most was, I think his name was Sean Bloom or Sean Baum.
Sean Bloom. Sean Bloom.
Sean Bloom.
Yes.
The Nintendo Hotline Counselor.
Gameplay Counselor.
Nintendo Gameplay Counselor. That part was hysterical.
It was good because they did like an 80s, like, welcome to, or 90s. Yes. You know, welcome to, this is your new job. And he seemed really cool. But the amount of like the testing and the memorization and what they had to do as a counselor. And you get a little bit of hint of that if you watch The Wizard. Very little bit of a hint. But yeah, no, Sean Bloom, that was very funny. He was very funny. They put the mullet back on him. It was hysterical.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great.
So that was – any other takeaways from episode two? Because then
that was enough. That was really cool.
Yeah, then we got into episode three, which, you know, it's funny. I didn't think of this as being a topic going into this show because it's, you know, high score. And so you think only digital. You think only – which this had digital stuff in it.
Yeah.
But they touch on physical as well. Role-playing games. Episode three is role-playing games. A topic. I'm not that big into role-playing games. You know, short of like Shining Force and Super Mario RPG, I'm really not that into it. Not that I'm saying they're terrible. I just I lose attention.
Yep.
But this episode was really interesting, especially with some of the games that they were talking about.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed, I have to say, I was really surprised when they were focusing on Ken and Roberta Williams, who were the married couple. They were the ones responsible for they were responsible for that first PC game, Mystery House, which was the first time, again, up until that point, games were like text-based adventures. Like the
one pure text.
Short text where you choose your own decision and you're just reading text. And it's like, oh, you're in a house. You see this. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you write a one or two word response and then something happens. They had introduced the whole idea of graphics, like building out the house so you can see physically what's there and then put in your commands. And I thought, like, hearing from them, I thought was really, really cool.
Yes. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, they started Sierra.
They did. Yes.
The company Sierra. They were talking about actually the very, I think, dare I say, the first adventure game, Colossal Cave Adventure, was the first like text-based. Then they also, I think, were they the ones that started bringing in the visual?
Yes.
The graphics? Okay. That's what I'm talking about, a lot of the role-playing games, a lot of these old computers that you kind of forgot, because we're always talking about here, we're console gamers, not heavy PC. For a little while, I think you were doing PC back in the day, I remember.
I did in the 90s. Like, obviously when, like, my PC was a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, all of a sudden, it was cool to have a PC.
Yeah, I never got into it. But, you know, like the Apple II, it goes to show that back then, it was truly all about hardware, you know, depending on what could be done. And the fact that during these role-playing games, the biggest thing, the biggest breakthrough, and we'll see it later as well, would just be like graphics to a text-based RPG, or even to get smooth scrolling screens on a computer. That's in a later episode. When you think of computer, you think, oh, they can do everything. You know, for the time, you know, let's put ourselves into perspective for the time, but hardware was all it was all about. If you didn't have the right hardware, it was going to be tough to play. I'm bad with names. I apologize. The Final Fantasy artist, basically they hired an
check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply. Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices, exclusions apply.
Artist to come up with these Final Fantasy images, he'd paint these gorgeous images, and then they almost based the game around his art.
Yeah, they did, and then it was great to see how they got squished into 8-bit.
Say that? Oh yeah, yeah. They actually showed like from Final Fantasy. It'd be like one of the wizards or something. Gorgeous watercolor, drink all the way down to 8-bit piece. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was great. It's great to see and go back and look at the artwork that went into what we ultimately got as these little 8-bit characters, but the artwork that people put together in order for us to make those games. And when you get one of those books, like the Art of Zelda and stuff, like I have a bunch of those, these like arts and art books and stuff like that, and they have these for Final Fantasy and stuff like that, and you see what people are actually drawing, and obviously what you get on the screen is not the same. I'm trying to see if I can get
What I really liked was when that gentleman was talking, they actually showed, it's a beautiful stuff.
You look at stuff like this, that is not obviously what the video game looked like, but this was like the artwork people would put together in order to give you an idea on what the game would be.
So with this artist who painted these beautiful portraits,
Yoshitaka Amano.
Thank you, Mr. Amano. As the games progressed, though, you saw it went from 8-bit, and then it actually like morphed into finally his actual art is now appearing in the game, which I thought was really cool to see.
Yeah, and that's obviously with technological advances, it's like if you look at Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is the latest one to come out, and you see now the actual artwork that they've done on a page can come to life fully.
Yes. I think I just need to correct myself. Mystery House was the first text game with graphics.
Yeah, Mystery House was. Colossal Cave was the game that Roberta played.
That's right. Okay.
And beat, and then she said, I can design my own game. And that's what started her journey.
There's another very interesting story, actually. Two more interesting stories about this. But very little parts I want to mention. First of all, I missed it. I don't know if they gave the title. There's like a D&D movie starring Tom Hanks.
Yes.
A D&D-like movie.
A D&D-like movie starring Tom Hanks that I don't remember. I don't think they said the name.
I got to go back and check that.
I'm going to look it up right now.
And the other thing, now they did these interviews, I think, in like 2018, 2019. They recorded these interviews. And Richard Garriott, I think
Mazes and Monsters.
Okay.
1982 made-for-television drama film about a group of college students and their interest in a fictitious role-playing game of the same name.
There we go.
And the movie starred a 26-year-old Tom Hanks in his leading role.
That was his first leading role. Oh, wow. Interesting. Richard Garriott.
See this movie.
Yeah, no, me too. I think his name is Garriott. Richard Garriott, who made the Ultima games?
Or Richard Garriott.
Yes. Garriott, excuse me, Richard Garriott. Good for you for still rocking a rat tail in 2018 or 2019.
Right?
I couldn't stop staring at it. The guy's great. The guy's a gajillionaire, and he just does role-playing, and he's rocking a rat tail. Amazing.
Mazes and Monsters is available on YouTube in its entirety.
Awesome. With ads?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Oh, it's
on the YouTube movies.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
All right.
Okay. So the last two parts of this episode, very interesting. Again, going back to Ultima, or sticking with Ultima. Ultima 4, how, you know, Ultima and Richard Garriott saw how, you know, Ultima was one of the first games that let you freely choose how to advance. Yep. And you end up good or bad. And he was shocked to see how society tended to lean towards, they would do stuff that was immoral in the game. Yep. And everyone would end up bad. That he put in this, what was called a morale code in Ultima 4.
Yep.
And then you hear a story about that.
Well, and then people underestimated the idea of like catharsis in a game, and how and how you can, you're pulling on the wire.
He's here to destroy the show.
He's just here to destroy everything.
He's from Netflix. He doesn't want us to talk about
that. But just the whole idea of catharsis, and I think that's what people didn't understand.
Yeah.
How it's like, you know, we can't do these things in real life, so we do them in video games.
And yep.
He was very shocked to find out, oh my God, people want to do evil things. And yeah, not for real.
And then finally, a very, very interesting story, which I've never heard this before. A gentleman by the name of Ryan Best.
Yes.
First of all, he's using a metal detector in a cemetery. I thought that was a little weird and creepy.
Yeah, I thought that was strange too. And I'm like, why would you do that? But okay.
But he had a story about a game that he created for a community during the
LGBTQ community.
I was building. Yeah, but was it the 80s or 90s that this that he?
I believe it was the early 90s.
Okay. The reason why I asked, because Signs of the Times. You know, how things were back then, very, you know, touchy subject, the gay community back then, you know, and they, trust me, it was a rough time, but he created, like the first, gay, role-playing game that he lost.
Yes.
Completely lost.
Yep.
So that's an interesting story.
Yeah, he moved it. He lost it moving from, I think, Hawaii to wherever he wound up.
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the name of the game was Gayblade.
Gayblade, yeah.
Yep. So
I when he said he just lost it, I'm like, how the hell do you lose a game?
Yeah.
But when he told, when he tells the story, I'm like, that sucks.
That's why, yeah, it was terrible.
So, but again, very interesting story. Mm-hmm. And that is just all is. So, so that's episode 3. I'm thinking 2 because I already got these two notes.
I'm gonna speed it up a little bit.
This may be a 2-part episode.
Yeah, exactly. No, so I'm gonna speed it up a little bit because, you know, honestly, with what we're talking about, it's worth going and seeing High Score if you have access to Netflix. You should really watch it.
No, totally. That's what, you know. Again, talking about, we're falling into the trap of just wanting to talk.
Yeah, exactly. And then episode 4 focuses on Sega and the console wars of the
90s,
and we've covered that on our show a few times. And they get the president of Sega of America, Tom Kalinske, who goes through his whole story. His story on how he wound up at Sega was funny.
Not only that, his 5-point plan is phenomenal.
Yes. He had a simple 5-point plan. You have to see it. Just watch the episode just to see what his 5-point plan was. Because what was great about it is that Sega of Japan hated it.
Yes.
Hated his plan, but let him do it. And obviously it turned into a massive success. So it's worth looking at that. they go into the detail on how Sonic the Hedgehog was created with Hirokazu Yatsuhara,
okay,
who is behind the design of Sonic. And then the big get for Sega was Electronic Arts, and they talked.
Oh yeah,
and they talked to Trip Hawkins.
Yes,
and how Electronic Arts came to be, and how Sega really dominated through sports on their system. It was one of the main reasons why Sega was so successful. It wasn't just for Sonic. It was also for sports because, you know, John Madden became synonymous with video games because
of
Sega.
Yep. Still going on today. Rock the Rock. I completely forgot about this contest.
Yep. The Rock the Rock contest was awesome. It was an MTV contest.
Yep. MTV. Sonic.
Sonic.
I think it was Sonic and Knuckles, actually.
Yeah, it looked like it was Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did it. Yeah, MTV. I mean, imagine, like, you know, when MTV was still hot and about music and stuff like that, playing in a video game contest, Daisy Fuentes.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wow. I was like, God, I'm old.
I'm in Alcatraz. I'm being interviewed by Daisy Fuentes. How can this get any better?
Exactly. And the winner got like 25 grand.
Yes. Yeah. Again, rocking a mullet in the, in, you know, 2019. Unbelievable. Well, near mullet.
But, yeah, but the Sega story is always an intriguing story to go into, and especially when you're hearing it from the people who are actually there.
I thought two quick things real quick. A, I wish I was in college during that time, because Sega purposely gave Genesis consoles to college kids.
Yes.
And free games to just purposely play them. Be like, hey, check this out. It was a great marketing campaign that they talked about.
Yeah, again, it was brilliant. It was it was how you ate into Nintendo.
Yep, yep. Part of the 5-point plan. And yep. I don't know if it was someone mentioned this or I saw it on the screen, but there was something called Sonic the Next Level. They didn't deep dive. It's just something I either caught or heard quickly.
Was that the one that became, say, Sonic CD?
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's see. It was something. Oh, Sonic the Next Level was that the one released on Sega Online? Remember the
maybe.
Sega Online system?
Maybe they were talking about something like, and they were just going through different titles or whatever.
Yeah,
it's possible.
I'm trying to look it up really quickly. Yeah, it is a thing.
It
looks like it was a. Is it a hack?
Maybe. Like I said, it's not. It doesn't do anything in the episode. They just literally, I saw it on the screen and it caught my eye. So, but no, the Sega, that 5-point plan, that should be everybody's 5-point plan. So
it really should be.
That's just how they did that. It was phenomenal.
Yep.
All right. So episode 5, I knew this episode was coming and I was really curious about it.
We all knew this one was coming.
So this was the old violence episode.
Yep. And it touched on everything we already knew it was going to.
Everything. And this is, I got to say, around this time is probably when me and you were becoming of age that we were, I would say, impressionable enough and that these games were our demographic or we were their demographic, I should say.
Yeah, like when the video when the video store around the corner from me got Mortal Kombat in.
Yeah, it was really, you know, talking about Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. You forget they tried to get Jean-Claude Van Damme for Mortal Kombat.
And that's who Johnny Cage wound up being.
Yep. During the, you know, the beginning of each episode, you do like kind of like a quick, like you know, here's to come in this episode.
Yep.
And they showed wrestling in this one. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But they never really, for some reason, they used wrestling clips, I think, as like MMA clips. It was weird.
I thought that was really weird too. Yeah. They were talking about how much they went into Kung Fu and MMA, because I think what they said was that they went to pro wrestling events in Japan just as research.
It looked like it was OWE, which is it stands for Oriental Wrestling Entertainment. It's a fairly new company. I think AEW works with them, but. But still, I was expecting like, oh, they're going to show some like death matches, but no, and they really didn't touch on it. Yeah, they didn't touch on it beyond that. But this episode, even though it's a violent episode, and they talk about, you know, you go back and you forget. And I remember originally hearing the news about the congressional hearings about this to see again, is this history forgotten? Is history being repeated today? You know, you see, you know, like the adults trying to be like, this is wrong for our kids, morality, they should not be brought up on this, and then that raises a whole bunch of different questions, but
it was fine, I think,
for the most part. But it was weird. It was weird to go back to see that they interviewed the guy who created Night Trap.
Yes, Jim Riley.
There you go. And I'm very upset no one mentioned Dana Plato.
No, but she was prevalent on the
show. She sure was. They also talked about esports in this episode, which is very interesting and annoying.
Yep, I thought esports was interesting because it didn't really fit in there.
No, it's annoying because we're not part of it and not making money on it.
No, it wasn't even that. I just didn't think
it was. No, I know. It was very weird.
But just the whole idea behind, well, I guess it did because like some esport games are like Call of Duty and stuff like that where there are violence and stuff.
Yeah.
Like. But again, it was the whole Mortal Kombat, Night Trap. And again, just going through the history in the 90s on how violent video games were being attacked by our government.
Yep.
You know, they were trying to figure out how they can censor it and everything like that. And that's how we got the entertainment system ratings.
And I guess the ESRB, for the most part, is understandable. You know, and now that we're adults, all right, fine. Not every game is created. Yeah. But it was weird how we got there.
And not that parents even, you know, pay attention to it when they buy it for their kids.
Because
I can't tell you how many kids, when I play Grand Theft Auto Online, how many eight-year-olds I hear on there cursing up a storm.
Oh, forget about
it. It's cool.
You learn new words.
They taught me a new word or two.
A couple things real quick on this episode. Real fast, the creator of Night Trap, again, his name?
Jim Riley.
Jim Riley, wonderful story on how he had to try and get the game, get Hasbro to publish the game, and what he originally wanted to do versus what they were asking him to do, as far as like, you can't, has to be something that you can't do in real life. He's like, and finally what they ended up with was like, what? Okay. Yeah. Very funny story on that. And this episode also led into, or am I now mixing up episodes, Doom.
That was the last episode.
Okay, I thought maybe they touched on it real quick, but it gets highlighted in the final episode.
Yeah,
episodes
where we get into PC gaming,
first-person shooters,
online multiplayer.
Yep.
And most importantly, the advent of 3D gaming.
Yes, that's basically what it's all about. Talking about Doom, and this I don't remember because I wasn't a PC player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you tried it when
Doom. Yeah,
I didn't realize Doom was released the day after the congressional hearings were over.
That part I didn't know.
Or day of. It was either day of, day of or day after, and people were literally waiting on the server because Doom, you're able to download the first level for free. That's how they got people to get it. They give you a little bit and you pay for the rest.
I remember because when I got it, I only had that first level.
Yeah, and eventually
I bought the game.
Yeah, and that's how it worked. But just people sitting on the server waiting for midnight to click and then start downloading.
Well, the congressional hearings were the best marketing campaign.
Oh, absolutely.
For Doom, because here are a bunch of uptight, you know, adults telling you you can and cannot play, and here comes Doom.
Well, not only that, but the Night Trap said it was the best marketing we got.
Yep.
Yeah,
they said that too. It's like, they're like, sales jumped through the roof because of the congressional hearings. It's like you never tell kids what's
going to happen. Oh, no, totally. This episode is very interesting. So they talk about, you know, the advent of the deathmatch scenario. Wolfenstein, they talk about, again, Doom. How Doom themselves allowed the modding of the game.
Yes.
To a point.
They were probably one of the first people to ever release the code for their game so other people could adjust it.
Yep.
Alter it. And then they showed different iterations of Doom. People made Star Wars versions, Simpsons versions, all kinds of stuff. That was really fun.
This is the app. I mentioned it earlier, how I think it was Doom. It was centered a lot around Doom, where they were trying to get that smooth scrolling on a PC instead of being very... Was that something else?
Was that them? No, I think that was them. I'm sorry.
It may have been them. Maybe not for Doom, but it was them. The problem was with the PCs, kind of like how Zelda runs. You go to the edge of the screen moves. You go to the edge of the screen moves. And they were trying to find how they can smoothly. That was the biggest hurdle. Something that we take for granted nowadays.
Yes.
Was the biggest hurdle in the 90s. But a very interesting. And also we got away from, you know, the violent aspect of Doom, talking about the Super FX chip. How that came about was very interesting on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, the Super FX chip was really interesting, and that we got a story from
Argonaut Software.
Argonaut Software, two gentlemen in England, I believe, Dylan Cuthbert and Giles Goddard, who were basically responsible for creating that Super FX chip to do that 3D environment that wound up becoming Star Fox. And they, what was interesting about it is that their initial focus was how to do it on a Game Boy.
That's what's funny. Yeah, that great story about that. They almost were like hackers to a point.
Yep.
That Nintendo ended up hiring. And to hear Miyamoto excuse me, their story about, because I was waiting for one of them to like BS Miyamoto, like to kind of be like, oh, well, he wanted to do this, but we wanted to do that. But they were like, oh, no, he actually has really good ideas. And I think Miyamoto had an amazing idea for how Star Fox to run, and they collaborated, and it became a great story. Yeah, so, you know, and then it just kind of take it from there. All quick hits. Trust me, you want to go back and watch them. Yeah, well worth it.
Yeah, definitely worth it. I highly recommend it. And again, what's interesting about it is that that's where they stopped, which is cool because it opens the door, obviously, for another season of High Score, where since they kind of stopped around the early 90s, obviously there's another 25 plus years of gaming to focus on. So
absolutely,
it'll be really interesting. And what I also found interesting, actually, at the very end of episode 6 was they went all the way back to the beginning to talk about Space War, to give you to show you how things go, because they went back to Space War and Nolan Bushnell and how he decided on Atari. And I thought that was really interesting because I was waiting for them to touch on that. Space War, of course, is the very first arcade game.
Computer game, period. Yeah.
Yeah, computer game that they wound up releasing in arcades.
Yep.
So it's just really cool that they did touch on that as well. So I'm curious to see if they make more of them. I'm hoping this one's really successful. Again, if you're a game fan and want to learn a little bit more about the history that you don't know, this is a nice entryway to it.
All right, excellent. Wow, with that, I think we are done. This was ended up being an extra super size episode.
We had a handheld episode last week.
We did. We made up for it.
I'll
see if I can try and break this up. I won't know how. So in any event, let's wrap it up. Ant, do you know where we can be found online?
I think so, because I think I know where I actually am. you can find us on facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast, Instagram @RetroGamersPodcast, Twitter @RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're everywhere. Apple, Spotify, Spreaker, you name it, we're there. Please leave us some really cool reviews and give us some stars. It always helps us when we get reviews from people who listen to us, because, you know, you guys are what matter to us. That's why we do this show. You can watch us on YouTube. Just look us up on the Retro Gamers Podcast if you want to actually see our mugs.
Don't know why, but okay.
Hey, you know what? Some people love watching YouTube more than they like just listening to something, and so we offer that option as well. You can email us if you have an idea for something that you want us to talk about on the show.
Yes.
Or if you just want to, if you just want to write to us and tell us we're awesome or not.
Either way.
I'm happy to listen to it. Just email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
Absolutely. I just want to see, we did get a comment. I'm trying to find the one comment. No, I can't find it. I just can't pull it up this quickly.
Oh, yes. We did get a comment.
From our buddy over in Peru.
Yes, our buddy over in Peru. He told us, here, I have it on my phone, I think.
We were talking about the episode with the Master System. I think he was looking into that. Yeah,
we were talking about that, and he wrote to us and said, I never saw or heard about the Master System until I got it online years later. Had they actually promoted the system in the U.S., I'm sure it would have done well. Everything I've seen and read suggests it was on par with the NES. I would have done anything to play that system as a kid. Is that the one?
Well, no. Here, let me see. Let me click over here. Hold on one second.
Okay. The one from Brazil or Peru?
I always enjoy the... Oh, yeah. Sorry, we got two. I forgot. We just, everybody.
Yeah, because the whole idea was that the Sega Master System...
Yes, that's what it was.
Was available for like up until only a few, like even a few years ago.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah, it's just insane.
But hey, we love it. Keep commenting. Keep liking us. Please hit that like button. Whether you listen to the podcast or YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell button, hit all the buttons, just do it. And we're getting there. We're getting to 200. We're only a couple of episodes away.
200, it's just two away.
Absolutely. And enjoy your day.
You do the same.
Thank you very much. And we will catch you right here next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.
Check out Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for great savings on holiday gift ideas like designer names you know they'll love, now 40 to 60% off. And women's boots and shoes to finish the look, 50 to 60% off. And upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with cozy flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Why do millions of Americans choose to sleep on Boll & Branch sheets? Is it the 100% organic cotton? Is it that they get softer and softer over time? Customers can't stop raving about these sheets, and there's no better time to try them for yourself or give them to someone you love. Right now, Boll & Branch is offering their best deals of the year, and you can get their incredibly soft sheets at incredibly low prices. Just go to BollandBranch.com to shop their best deals today. That's BollandBranch.com today. See site for details.